الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. صدق الله العظيم. My most honorable brothers and elders, it is quite common that we hear many people crying out, complaining regarding people who they trusted or they entrusted with certain possessions of theirs, and then they were betrayed. There was a breach of those trusts. The person says, I really trusted him. I had all my reliance upon him. I didn't expect him to deceive me. I didn't think this person will ever speak a lie and turn his back against me and ignore me and usurp the property that I entrusted him with. I'm sure all of you have heard many people complaining about breachment of trust, making khiyana, being disloyal. How often a person says that I had my life savings with that particular person and I really trusted him. I thought he was a loyal person. To my utter dismay, I find that I've lost everything. Everything. My respected brothers and elders, when a person betrays his Muslim brother, when there's a breach of trust, when there is khiyana, disloyalty, then this is a sign of a hypocrite. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Ayatul munafiqi thalathun, idha haddatha kathaba, wa idha wa'ada akhlafa, wa idha tumina khana. That the signs of a hypocrite are three. In other hadith, four signs have been mentioned. Idha haddatha kathaba, when he speaks lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ, when he promises, he breaks his promise. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ, and when he is entrusted with something, خَانَ, then he is disloyal. This is a sign of a hypocrite. And the other riwayat where the four mentioned, وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجَرَ, and when he argues and he disputes, then he uses vulgar language. So we can see a person who makes khiyana, when he is disloyal, when he betrays the trust, then this is a sign of a hypocrite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the sign of a believer, or the signs and the traits, characteristics of believers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. First Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the surah with glad tidings to the believers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Certainly they have become successful. They have gained falah. They have gained salvation, success in the hereafter. And who are those people? The qualities of the believer have been mentioned, amongst which, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. They're extremely particular when it comes to observing the amanat, the trust that they have in the possession of others. And they fulfill these trusts. This is a sign of a believer. He is not disloyal. He is loyal to his Muslim brother or to the public. He is very careful. That there must be no disloyalty from his side. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the month of Rabiul Awwal, generally we hear more and more talks of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beautiful akhlaq he had, the conduct, the manner in which he dealt with people, his interaction with the public. And then we always hear that even in the time of Jahiliyyah, before Islam, the Quraysh had respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that they gave him the title of Al-Amin As-Sadiq, the most truthful, the most honest. They could actually leave their possessions with him. They could entrust him with their possessions, knowing that he will never be disloyal to them. Al-Amin As-Sadiq. In the time of Hijrah, you know the entire incident when Rasulullah leaves Makkah and he's now making Hijrah, migration to Madinah Munawwara. He leaves behind Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And one of the main purposes of leaving Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala behind was so that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an would give back those amanat that were in the care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left in his position by the same Quraysh who were his enemy. And he wanted Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an that when I leave, then you give back each person his amanat. Had we been in that position, we would say, these are our enemy. So why should I give him back his due? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this ummah and he thought as the golden rule, أَدِّلْ أَمَانَةَ إِلَىٰ مَنِ اِتُمِنَا. That give back the trust to the person who entrusted you. He trusted you. So give back that trust to him. My respected brothers and elders, this is something that generally we take for granted. We don't realize this is a major sin. We don't realize that it does not behove a believer, to be disloyal to mankind. To cheat, to lie, to deceive. And just as we proclaim that we have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we love his sunnah, and we talk about his akhlaq, these are the things that we may treat, unfortunately, minor and insignificant, whereas these are salient features in the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he displayed honesty, trustworthiness. He emphasized this amongst his ummah. There is a beautiful incident that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in his Sahih. It comes in four different places in Bukhari, but in one particular place it comes in detail. And the gist of this riwayah is that in the time of Bani Israel, there was a person who required a loan. So he goes up to a person who was very generous and he requests a loan of 1,000 dinars, 1,000 gold coins from this person. The person was a generous man. And so he agreed. He said, but give me a witness to say that you owe me this money. And I'm going to hand over this money to you. I'm going to lend you this money. So there must be a witness. So this poor person who came to borrow the money, he says, I've got no witness. But the only witness I have is Allah, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. So this person then agrees, yes, Allah is sufficient as a witness, and he is the best witness. But then the person goes on and he says that, I need a guarantor. What if you don't pay me back my money? I need a guarantor who will guarantee me the repayment of this loan of 1,000 dinars. He says, I've got no person to guarantee this. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And Allah is the best wakil. He's the best guarantor. The person agrees, indeed what you're saying is correct. So he gives him this 1,000 gold coins. However, there is a date that is fixed, that on this particular date you have to repay me this loan. He agrees. So he was living across the river and he goes. When it comes for the due date, this person now looks for a ferry or a boat to sail him across to pay back this money. But unfortunately, on that particular day, there was no boat that could transport him across. So he searches desperately, and he is quite frantic. And then he begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh my Allah, you can see how I am struggling, and I've made an effort. I need a boat to ferry me across. I don't have a boat. I promised this man his money, repayment of his loan." So when he sees there's no boat, there's no ferry, nothing that can transport him, he could have gone back home, he could have tried the next day, but he says, "No, I promised this man his money on this particular date." So he'll be waiting for his loan. So he finds a log, and he makes a hole in this log, and he stuffs the money, this 1,000 dinars in it, with a small note, and he closes this log. And then with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he throws his log across into this river, hoping that it will reach the person. He was sincere, he was genuine. There was no disloyalty on his part. On the other side of the river, in that distant area, this man came out knowing that today is the due date, and this man promised to pay me back my loan. So he comes and he's waiting, and he sees no person coming, there's no boat. So obviously the various thoughts goes through a person's mind. Nonetheless, he sees there's no person coming, but he required some wood, firewood for home. So he sees this log coming, and he takes his log home. And when he begins to chop this log, he finds this 1,000 dinars with this sahifa, with this little note. My respected brothers and elders, the narration continues, where Rasulullah ﷺ explains, and he says that that person who borrowed the money, he was still very restless, that perhaps this money has not reached this man. And I had promised him, what will he think of me? So he gathers another 1,000 dinars, and this time he finds the means of transport, he sails across, and then he meets this man. And this man says that it was a long time. So this person begins to apologize and explain that, "Listen, I promised you I had the money, and I came, and I could not find any transport to sail me across." Then the person asks him, "Did you send any money across?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Explain to me what happened." So then he gives the entire explanation, and he relates the incident that this is what happened, and I stuffed this money into this log and I sent it hoping that it may reach you. He said, "Qad adda Allahu amanatak," Allah has fulfilled your amanat. I received it. You may go. You don't have to pay me an extra 1,000 dinars. Hafiz Ibn Hajar, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Fathul Bari, he says that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, when he narrated this hadith, he says, then amongst the Sahaba, we began to debate that which one of the two, the one who borrowed the money or the lender, was more trustworthy. You see, Sahaba had a difference of opinion. Some said, no, the one who borrowed the money. The others said, the one who lent. Because if you look at both displayed loyalty in the highest form. This person who borrowed the money, he could have, there was no need for him to send or go again and take the pains of taking another 1,000 dinars and going across. And the person who lent the money, he could have kept quiet and pretended as though no money reached him, and he could have got another 1,000 dinars, but he was honest. My respected brothers and elders, we deal daily, we have transactions, and we interact with people. How often we treat these things as completely petty and trivial, not realizing the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are guilty of any disloyalty, then this is a major sin. A major sin. As I mentioned in the beginning, it is a sign of a hypocrite. The word amana, from aman, amuna, which ulama and Scholars have written where there must be sukoonul qalb. In other words, you have sukoon in your heart. You have complete reliance on a person. I can trust him. This is amana. In other words, the person trusted you. He felt at ease when he gave, handed to you some possession. And of course, the word amana is a very broad word. It's not always related to possession, to items, to money. No. In fact, scholars have explained, ulama have explained, that even a secret is an amana. إِذَا حَدَّثَ الرَّجُلُ حَدِيثًا ثُمَّ الْتَفَتَ فَهِيَ أَمَانَةً. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person speaks to you, obviously he trusted you, there was a secret, he told you something, and then he turned away. The moment he turns away, then this is an amana. You have no right to divulge this secret. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, الْمَجَالِسُ بِالْأَمَانَةِ. We have secret meetings. And many times, before we can even leave the room, and of course today with the social media, we have our WhatsApp and all the messages. Before we can even leave the meeting, people already know what we discussed. Al-majalisu bil-amana. Our meetings should be concluded with honesty, with trustworthiness, with amana. Inna a'azam al-amana inda Allahi yawm al-qiyamah. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another narration, inna min ashirri rijal. The most severe of all amanat. And the other narration, the worst person on the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be that person. الرَّجُلُ يُفْضِي إِلَىٰ إِمْرَأَتِهِ وَتُفْضِي إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ يَنْشُرُ سِرَّهَا. A man has intercourse with his own wife, his legitimate wife, his halal wife at night. But in the morning he goes and he broadcasts the bedroom secrets. This is how she performed. This is what she did. That is what she did. The worst person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this person. How foolish can a person be? This is a bedroom secret between you and your wife. Yet we find today in the social media again, people will display their pictures. People will give you the biography. They will talk about their private lives, about their wives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests such things. Allah abhors such things. Your meeting with your wife is a sir, it is an amana. The bodies that we have, the limbs that we have, this is also an amana. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one narration speaks about four questions, and then the narration speaks about five questions on the day of Qiyamah. لا تزول قدم عبد. That a person on the day of Qiyamah, his feet will not move until he answers five questions. And amongst those questions, one is, عن جسده فيما أبلاه. The body that Allah gave us as an amana. How did we utilize this body? Did we spend it in accordance to the Sharia, to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Was there any khiyana of our eyes? Did we cast lustful glances at ghair mahram women? يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah talks about in the Quran, Allah knows the khiyana, the disloyalty of the eyes. Whatever your heart conceals, Allah is well aware. So the bodies that we have, how did we utilize these bodies? And I read an article not long ago by some Western person. And we can see the morbid way of thinking that they have. And he addresses the youth. And he says, oh youngsters, oh youth, oh those who are enjoying their teens, enjoy your life. It is your body. Do as you may please. Nobody can question you. It is your body, your time, your youth, which will never come back to you. Sleep with any woman you wish to. See the type of teachings and the ideology. Whereas Rasulullah showed us a pure, pristine sharia. A park, a tayyib, a tahir sharia. So even the bodies that we have, this amana. The utensils that we have. Now who even goes to that extent about the items that is home? That which belongs to you is yours. That which belongs to your wife is hers. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, gives an incident of his late father, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was on his, the last days of his life, on his deathbed, so as to say. And it was the rule that whenever the food was brought to Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was now bedridden, he was lying on his bed, and they would bring the food to him in some plate, some utensil. And immediately after that, this was his instruction that they must take it to the kitchen immediately. One particular occasion, Mufti Taqi Sahib said, I delayed and I forgot about it. I was busy and my father summoned me. He says, Taqi, what about these dishes? Bawarchi khana ko pahunchana chahiye tha. You're supposed to have sent it to the kitchen. What happened? So he said, Abba, just utensils. I'll take it just now. In other words, what's the problem? So Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah explained to Mufti Taqi Sahib. He said, see, I had made a wasiyat. Whatever is in this room of mine, this belongs to me and this will be shared in the inheritance. The rest of the household items in the remaining part of the house, in the kitchen and in other rooms, I have already given it to your mother. So it was her belongings now. The utensils that came from the kitchen belong to her already now. And now it came into this room. If I to pass away, you people will think that this belonged to me. And then unlawfully it will be given to the to the heirs. Imagine a thing like a plate, a cup, a glass. We all have occupations. We're employed by some person. The time that we possess, that also is an amana. The job is an amana. How often a person, whilst he's doing his job, or whilst he is in his shop, he's working for some person. He's the manager of the store. He's working for some person in the factory. He may be a teacher in a school. He may be an ustad or a principal in a madrasa. And he's busy using that phone without permission to make his personal calls, or he's preoccupied in doing his own work, his private work, whilst he's supposed to be doing the job for which he has been employed. That also is khiyana. One has to take permission from his boss that I need this, to speak to the doctor. I need to make this urgent call. Do you give me permission? If he has been given permission, that's a different matter. The car that the company gives you, if you got no permission to use it for your personal use, then you have got no right to do so. Brothers, we can go on. The word amana is very, very broad. So the time also we have. Wal asri, Allah takes a qasam, an oath on time. The time also should be spent correctly. It is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll be questioned regarding this. The only thing, the only regret a jannati will have, an inmate of paradise, the only regret he will have, is the time that he wasted in this world, in which he could have said one subhanallah, and the time was an amana to him, and one more tree could have been planted for him in paradise. In the Quran, there are incidents where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about or shows the importance of amanadari. We know the story of Musa alayhi salatu salam, when he left Egypt and he went to Madian. Then there were two girls, and Mufassirin write that they were very bashful, very modest, and they were the daughters of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu wasalam, and they brought the animals to drink water from the well. But the men that had come, they pushed them on one side, and they would always be unjust, and they would give the animals water to drink first, and these poor girls would only have a chance right in the end when all those men had gone. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had seen this. So immediately he goes and he takes these animals and he goes and he lifts up the lid of this well all alone. He had such strength, and he feeds his animals and he gives it to these young girls, and they go back to their father. And because they had come earlier than normal, the father was curious. What happened today? How come you came so early? So they related. There was this man, and this is what he did. So the father says, go and call him. He needs to be given something in lieu for what he did. So very bashfully, with haya, this one daughter goes and she calls Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and she says, my father is calling you. So he goes. And later on she tells the father that you should employ this man. So he asks, why? So she says, because he's got two qualities. He is qawi. He is strong. Father asks, how you know? She says, well, I observed him lifting the lid of the well all by his own. He had such strength in him. Whereas normally, a whole group of men have to carry this lid. So I saw him singly, all alone, he lifted the entire, this lid of this well. And Amin, how do you know he's Amin and trustworthy? She says, oh my father, when I had to escort him and show him where our home was, he walked in front of me. He lowered his gaze. He did not turn back towards me. He didn't put me in front and watch me from behind. And I had to guide him by throwing some pebbles either on the right hand side to indicate to him we need to go to the right, or to the left hand side to direct him to the left hand side. And this is how we reached home. Al-Qawi Al-Amin. See the Amanad-Dari. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, the incident we know is so long, when he asked for the throne of Bilqis to be brought, قال عفريت من الجن أنا آتيك به قبل أن تقوم من مقامك وإني عليه لقوي أمين. The same thing, this عفريت was from the jinn. He says, I can bring it to you, O Sulaiman, before you can even stand up from this gathering. Why? I have the strength to do. Allah has given me the strength and I am Amin. In other words, I will bring to you this throne of Bilqis in the exact form it is. It was studded with jewels and pearls and emeralds. I will not be disloyal. I won't bring some other throne. I will bring this exact throne. My respected brothers and elders, there's so much more to explain. But amana is something sacred. It is important for all of us. And I just mentioned a few things that generally we ignore. And we take these things to be insignificant, trivial, petty. Whereas this also falls under amana. For you and I to understand again the importance of amana, I end with one beautiful incident, which again we read in the books of Sirah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a Nabi, when he was given Nubuwa, we know he gave da'wah to the Quraysh in Makkah. There were those who accepted him, others rejected him. On one particular occasion, it was the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to enter the Kaaba and to make salah inside the Kaaba. But the keys were not in his possession. It was in the possession of a particular family. And there was a person by the name of Uthman bin Talha. It was his family who were in charge. And when he asked Uthman bin Talha, he made this request, this humble request, that give me the key so I may enter the Kaaba. Uthman bin Talha at that moment was not a believer. So he refused. In fact, he used some harsh terms against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, "O Uthman, how will it be that the day may come when the same keys of the Kaaba are in my possession, then I will give it to who I wish." And comes Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, when we know the entire incident, that now those Quraysh and the disbelievers, they were the mercy of the Muslims and did not know what is going to be their fate. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he asked for the key of the Kaaba. Uthman, where is the key? And Uthman comes forward. And now he presents the key. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters the Kaaba. And he prays inside the Kaaba. Uthman thinks to himself and he recalls that day when he refused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today Makkah is at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he has got the key now. And he has opened the Kaaba. And he thinks to himself that now we will be deprived of ever having or being the doorkeepers of the Kaaba and having this key in our possession. But the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he emerges, he comes out reciting the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. That verily Allah has commanded you to give back the amana to the people who are lawful, those who are due for those amanat, to whom those amanat belong. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that kharaja Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yatlu hadhihi al-ayah wa ma sami'naha min qablu. We never heard this verse before that. This was the first verse. Mufassirin write, Allama Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned that inna hadhihi al-aya nazalat fi jawfi al-kaaba. Inside the Kaaba, Allah revealed this verse. So Rasulullah calls Uthman, where are you? And he gives him back the key. And he says, you will keep it, your family will keep it, خَالِدَةً تَالِدَةً إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ till the day of Qiyamah, unless an oppressor, a zalim, will take away this key from you. My respected brothers and elders, imagine the door, the Kaaba, the key of the Kaaba. Rasulullah could have kept it for himself, but this was the command of Allah, that this also is an amana. Give it back to the rightful person. My respected brothers and elders, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it be such that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't treat these things as insignificant, because it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before Qiyamah, among the signs of Qiyamah, that when إِذَا ضُيِّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةُ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ, when there is a breachment of amanat, then await Qiyamah. Rasulullah ﷺ then also mentioned that on the, before Qiyamah, لَا يَكَادُ أَحَدٌ يُؤَدِّ الْأَمَانَةِ, a person will hardly discharge amana. It'll be said, a man will be looking for a person who is trustworthy. فَلَا يَكَادُ يَجِدُ أَحَدًا, he won't find any person who is amin. And it will be said, inna fi bani fulanin, in that certain tribe, you might find there is one person who is ameen. But when he goes to that person, he will find that this person does not even have that amount of iman equivalent to a mustard seed. And the hadith says also that a trustworthy person, he, before Qiyamah, he'll be regarded as a khain, as disloyal among society. And a person who is disloyal, he'll be regarded as ameen. On the day of Qiyamah, as we are crossing Pul Sirat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give amanat and sila rahmi, family relationships, a form, and both will stand yameenan wa shimalan across Pul Sirat. And as the person is going across Pul Sirat, amanat dari, trustworthiness, will pull this person into Jahannam. Who? The person who breached trust. And the person who did not keep, maintain family relationships, he'll also be pulled into Jahannam. May Allah protect us. May Allah give us the understanding and make all of us amanat dar. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.